All right, welcome everyone to this special interview, weekend interview. I'm Mike Adams here, of course, of naturalnews.com. And as you recall, over the last several weeks, there's been a lot of outpouring of concern for Karen Kingston, and she was in Mexico, and a lot of things happened that actually she's going to share with us here about her trip to Mexico and someone reporting her as missing in Mexico. And she recorded a video that had some pretty strong statements in it and so on. And because of all the concern and all the prayers and all the outpouring, Karen is actually here to help answer questions and clarify what went on. And Karen, I want to just welcome. Thank you for joining me today. We greatly appreciate you. And we are so relieved that you are safe back in the United States now. A lot of us were very, very concerned about your safety. So, you know, welcome back home. It's great to see you again.
Thank you, Mike. And again, I apologize for the worry and concern that I caused to, you know, all those people who have been so supportive of me, you know, and to friends and families and to colleagues. You know, we have many colleagues, and I apologize for the worry that I did cause. So I do have a Substack on, so I do kind of want to put into context what happened. Now, keep in mind, Mike, you and I talked before I came along, this is not my first rodeo. So even when I worked in the pharma industry, again, my nickname was the cleaner. So there were times when I've been threatened, right? And it's I've never fled the country. And then when I became what they call a whistleblower, and I started reporting on the content from the Pfizer filings and the patents through emails and on my social media before anyone knew who I was, I did start getting threats, and I had to hire security, you know. But again, I did stay in the country. And then when I started doing the Clay Clark tours and going on, you know, your show and Stu Peter's show and Brandon House and many other shows, I also got poisoned. And it's, I have the evidence and stuff. And I became very ill, and again had to go through that whole process. So what happened this time, you know, cause I am a pretty, emotionally strong woman. Like I said, it's not uncommon for us to receive threats. It's not uncommon for, as you know, for many of us on the forefront, to have experiences where we're being exposed to toxic substances, right? So what happened was, I had been staying in a home, and over a period of 3 days, I became more and more ill. And my friends noticed that, and the Bregans had noticed that. And I returned home, and I actually tried to de-escalate the situation and say, I think I'm exposed to some kind of mold or something. And individuals had said things to me like, well, what if it's a toxic substance, or what if you're on a hit? And then I hired security. And typically when I hired security in the past, they've de-escalated my concerns. And I just want to say, in this situation, when I hired the security, our conversations, it did not de-escalate it. And I mean, I go into some of the details on my Substack. I don't want to go into too many details, but I definitely made it sound like I was on a hit list, and like my life was in grave danger, you know, which is why I hired them quickly. And based on the way my body had reacted to whatever these substances was, based on conversations I was having with people who normally would de-escalate my fears, they were elevating them. And I made the decision, again, I was in a state now of fight or flight, that the best thing to do was flight for the safety of my family. So I was staying with my family too, and I thought the best thing to do would be to separate from them. And many people know, I've been honest about this, I don't live far from Mexico. I know how to navigate around there very, you know, easily. And I thought, if I disconnect from my family and I, you know, disconnect my phone, don't have contact. And I did, once I arrived in Mexico, I did send them a message letting them know, this is where I am. I'm safe. You're not going to hear from me from up to, you know, 7 days at a time or so. And I'm like leaving devices behind and disconnecting. And in my mind at the time, again, I thought I was at risk, and I thought my family's safety was at risk. And I thought separating from them and disconnecting from them was the best thing to do. They don't really know what I do either. I mean, they kind of, they're not involved in social media. They're not in contact with people. Many people reached out to my family to help them. And then my family was exposed to the things that are on social media and whatnot. And that escalated the whole situation too.
Yeah, let me jump in there because, yeah, you just mentioned a dynamic that took place because when you put out that video, that I guess that 40-minute video that was talking about how you believe that you were on a hit list and someone was trying to kill you, and then those of us in the alternative media industry, none of us could reach you, right? And even though you had told your family, but we weren't aware of that. So we all thought, oh my gosh, Karen is disappearing and is in trouble. And that kind of snowballed through various articles. And
at that moment, I did. So you have to understand that I did leave the country because I thought I was at risk, right? But I thought by disconnecting and going to a place where I kind of knew how to navigate around that doesn't have cameras and tracking everywhere, that would be the best thing to do. I went to I went to a resort where I know a lot of the people and it's extremely, extremely high end, meaning like there's large events there and whatnot. And there was, for example, at that resort, I'll just say someone threw a bunch of white powder into one of my bags, and I had some weird reaction to it. And I'm going to try to get that tested. So I swelled up and stuff.
Weird.
So, yeah, but you have to understand, on that date, again, I had left. There was a series of events. I had been exposed to something where my body reacted as if it was something toxic. I spoke to security that allegedly had contacts with the FBI and Pentagon that escalated my fears. I was having physical reactions. Some of them may have been to toxins. In hindsight now, some of it may have been to stress, right? Because of what I was being told and my past experiences. And then in Mexico, I was exposed to this one other toxin, and I made that video because I was making a plea. I was just thinking, you know, if all this information I was told, which could have been gaslighting or upselling by somebody, is true, you know, is there someone that can call off this hit? So sounds strange, but again, understand that this is not normal behavior for me. I've been through serious treatments before from being exposed to toxins, and just worked through it. So,
but in retrospect, do you believe that private security individual that you had hired, do you now think that person was giving you accurate warning information, or that it was exaggerated or overzealously alarmist?
So I think the responsibility, you know, when you hire someone for security is to de-escalate the fear of somebody in general, right? So that is not what happened. And, you know, and said, oh, you know, there's this huge government file on me and I'm on some kind of hit list, right? So, you know, again, my family and I, we're still working through this and healing. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I mentioned to you, my son's birthday, I wrote him a significant check, you know, in a large bank, actually cleared it and then tagged him as fraud. And we're dealing with that issue right now. He's been blocked from a major bank. I was denied medical services yesterday from a national medical company. And in the United States, and I have it in writing. And they literally just said, we're not going to service you. Like, at first they said it was a payment issue. And I said, you're servicing all these other people and I'm paying you in cash, right? Or credit card, whatever. And then I literally got in writing. They're like, no, we're not going to service you. And, you know, went back to a doctor that I work with and, you know, and then they had to speak to them and they got it in writing that like, you cannot deny medical services to an individual. So again, these could all be coincidences, Mike. But they're you know, coming back, you know, finding out that my son's bank account not only was closed, but they kept the money, being denied medical services. Like, this is since I've been returned, you know, the missing person thing that happened in Mexico, again, that was a
huge misunderstanding
as well. Yeah. So,
well, let me add some context, because what you're saying about your son and what could be a debanking effort, you know, that's not unusual. I mean, I want the audience to understand that what you're saying actually does add up there, because, you know, Dr. Joseph Mercola, who I interviewed on this, his business partner or business lead, Stephen Rye, his family members and himself were debanked by JP Morgan Chase and told they could never bank with that bank again. Even his children were told to, like, for the rest of your life, you can never bank with JP Morgan. Yeah. And so what you are saying there, for anybody listening, it's not a fringe theory. This is actually happening to many people.
Yeah, and I have all the documentation. I'm just not naming the names of the banks or the medical services right now, because we are trying to work through these issues, right?
That's understandable. Yeah.
Yeah. So when speaking out, unfortunate things happen, right? I guess. And,
yes.
You know, that going back to that 40-minute video, I was obviously sleep deprived. I was in a state of fight or flight and fear. Please don't watch it. It's 40 minutes. It's painful, I think, you know, to watch. And I could see how if someone was like kind of tapping in and out, watching it, could take away messages that I was insinuating that people had, you know, specifically ill intentions for me. And that's not what I meant. I was trying in my sleep deprived, heightened fear state, trying to figure out a way to identify someone who could help and ask for help. And I did a very poor job of that. So I apologize for that. And I also created a lot of worry for a lot of people. And that was not my intentions. But again, I was in a heightened state of fear. I was sleep deprived. And, you know, if I was exposed to a toxin, we know sometimes there's neurotoxic effects, like, you know, maybe that was contributing to why I was acting that way. I think everyone agrees it's not normal character for me to be like that.
Right. Exactly. And I hope you know that a lot of the outpouring of concern was based on the support that you have among many people who have read your work and studied your work and shared your work, your research. And so I hope you understand that's the context from which that comes. But there was a question. I don't know if you don't want to answer this, that's okay. But there was a question of whether you had received a treatment for malaria or were suffering from malaria because of Tulum.
Those are completely different. This is why it's so confusing. Me and my son go to Mexico a lot. We live like we're so close, and we're active scuba divers. So just like it was less than 4 weeks earlier, we decided to go on a cenotes dive, and they didn't tell us this until we got on the bus. It was in the middle of a jungle in Tulum that was mosquito infested. So I didn't have off or anything. So I got bitten by the mosquitoes, and then I had the symptoms of malaria. And actually, it was Dr. Judy Mikovich. She sent me all the treatments. And I got, I mean, I did full, I did double treatments. I was fully treated. It was there was not malaria-induced delusion. I was in a heightened state of fear. The way my body responded with mass inflammation, my eyes burning, things like dizziness, it seems that I had been exposed to some kind of type of toxin. I was sleep deprived, and I was in a state of fight or flight for an extended period of time. And I made that video, and I don't recommend anyone do anything when they're in a state of fear. I made that video in a very heightened state of fear.
Right. And sleep deprivation,
mentioned. Yeah. And, you know, again, the rationale was when I was staying with my family, based on how my body was reacting, maybe including neurological reactions, based on things that security was telling me, And other individuals were telling me, like, instead of saying, like, saying, well, maybe it was a toxin, right? Not just mold, like, telling me I'm on some hit list. I thought the best thing for me to do was to get away from my family and disconnect from them to keep them safe. I literally thought that was the best thing to do so that people wouldn't be, you know, they would be kept out of the whole picture. I didn't think this through at all, obviously. And in hindsight, it was a mistake. I have apologized over and over again to my family for what I put them through.
Well, your family did express a lot of love for you and a lot of concern, and also, you know, asking people not to speculate about the situation. I want you to know too that I think you know this now in the aftermath of this, but there are so many resources across the health freedom movement who were ready to voluntarily protect you in the United States, in safe houses, to provide transportation, to provide actual guarding of you by capable men, let's say, highly capable, experienced operators. So should anything like this ever happen again, I hope you know that all you can reach out, not just to myself, but many others who have access to such resources.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that. And I so appreciate that outpouring now and knowing that. And again, I guess, you know, if someone could put themselves in my shoes, you know, a single mother worried about her family, in hindsight, it was not the wise choice. And you know, the security, just, you know, too, like, it was, I got a referral through the person that used to work at the church, security kind of thing. And so, like, I don't know. I don't know if this person, you know, I don't want to get into like any issues that would be considered, you know, liable or slander. Like, I don't know if they were embellishing situations. But I didn't, you know, I hired them within a couple hours and stuff. And in the past when I felt the need for security, you know, even once, I think people know Steve Sleptovic very well, and Tracy, like, I remember I called, there was one day where people kept calling me saying I needed security, and I talked to Steve, and, you know, I didn't need security, and I didn't, you know, I mean, he calmed me down, you know, kind of thing. So, like, there was a very strange series of events that happened, and I reacted out of fight or flight, and I chose flight, and I did tell my family that, you know, they're not going to hear from me for days at a time. I'm going off the grid. I thought that was the smartest thing to do. Perhaps I was, you know, exposed to a toxin that did cause a heightened state of paranoia. I don't know. You know, it wasn't normal behavior for me. You know.
Yeah. And there can be combined effects, like you said, you know, the stress, the sleep deprivation, the fear, and possibly exposure to something. And there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of things that can have neurological effects that are toxins that, you know, plant extracts, just powdered flowers or, you know, certainly powdered mushrooms with psychedelic effects and so on. There can be a number of things. And you said somebody threw a white powder in your purse at the resort?
At the resort.
You have a sample of that powder?
I'm trying to get it tested. It was like in the computer bag. So I took the computer off, cleared it out. And I emptied everything out, but I still have the bag. So I assume there's still some remnants, you know, in the bag, and there's some pesos in the bag. So I assume that there's some remnants in there. And so, well, I'm trying to find someone to test for fentanyl or something. I don't know what it was.
Well, you're talking to a guy who owns a lab right here. So, I mean, we have FTIR equipment to start with, which has a pretty large database for like a 60-second rough identification of the molecular composition. But if you send me a sample, I'd be happy to have it tested via FTIR. And if that doesn't work, we could do some additional mass spec investigations and maybe get some profiles. We can't always tell about unknowns, but we might be able to give you a clue on this, or we could rule out some things possibly as well.
Yeah, I kind of.
So if you want to send me a sample, we're happy to do that.
Well, so it's like I emptied out the bag and stuff, but I assume there's remnants of the powder in there, right? I would assume that there is. So I can send it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't take much, you know, less, yeah. I mean, a quarter of a gram, is enough often, you know, to do these kinds of tests. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there, but I wanted to then ask you, because I, just to clarify this. So if anybody watched your 40-minute video, and if they came away with the impression that they thought you were saying that any particular person was trying to put a hit on you, like that's not at all what you were trying to say in that video, as I understand it.
Yeah, that is not at all. And there is one point in the video where I say, I want to be clear, I have no idea who put this hit on me. I actually did say that in the video.
Okay.
You know, I think we all know that I exposed some research and some, you know, it's a lot of things that were done in the darkness that are pretty damning evidence. And
yes,
you know, when you do that, we know that people get targeted, you know. And again, that I was sleep deprived in a heightened state of fear. That was not an eloquent way. That was not a rational way to ask for help, right? I apologize for, and I can see how it could have been misinterpreted, and I apologize if it caused stress to anybody, or if they felt it caused, you know, insinuations that they had ill intentions for me as an individual. I really do apologize for that. That's wrong.
Well, I think a lot of the concern just came from the fact that people couldn't reach you. And then can I ask you about the missing persons thing that happened? Because that kind of reinvigorated the alarm across a lot of alt media, or, you know, health freedom media.
Yeah.
You know, some local authority of the Mexican government had put out a warning. And how did that come about? And
someone
what
had,
do you know about that you can share?
So again, like I said, I had just communicated with my family that you're not going to hear from me that often. You're not going to be able to get in contact with me, you know, sometimes a week at a time or more. But again, that video probably heightened the state of fear. And some people reached out to my brother to help him, and they put out a missing persons, or they opened a missing persons report in Mexico. And so that's how that happened. Now, that was actually the last thing I wanted to happen, because it's like an Amber Alert. So it was like people would get like images of me to say, if you see this woman, you know, take a photo and let us know where she is. So it just, but again, I was disconnected from communicating with my family. I told them that I was going to be disconnected. So it was a really, in hindsight, I really created a mess, right? Because then my family is now working with individuals who many of them I don't even know. And they were just trying to put together pieces of the puzzle and saying, well, now your sister's situation's changed. This is what we need to do. So that's how that happened. Yeah.
I see. Wow. Yeah, okay.
It's a lot. I mean, like, it's, I guess I should write a book one day, but yeah. Like I said, I mean, I'll look for the stories that are made up for next week. So I guess I should make it fictional, so not get in trouble. It'd be something to embellish it, but that's it. So I just want people to be clear. Like I made a decision, and in hindsight, I guess this was a poor decision. I thought separating from my family and disconnecting from them, would keep them safe, would not enable someone to, I thought I was threatened. I thought they were threatened, and I didn't want them to be bought into this. So I thought that was really my thinking. I guess that wasn't a good strategy. I'm so sorry. I thought if I was in regular contact with them on the phone, it would increase their risk and my risk. That was my thinking. And specifically their risk. Does that make sense, Mike? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand that line of thinking. But again, I would bring us back to, and you probably didn't know this at the time, but there are vast resources for private encrypted communications using de-Googled mobile devices that, you know, people like myself and others in this industry have access to, that if anything like this ever happens again, we can set you up with fully private encrypted communications that are untraceable and untrackable, so you could keep in touch with your family members or other key people. That does exist, but I understand you didn't have access to that at that time.
I also want to let people know I was very naive to think. I didn't think I was that significant in the movement that I would be targeted. So I was very naive to that. So I was not prepared for this stuff at all. So, so I understand you're telling me this, but like, I simply wasn't prepared. There was other attacks that had happened. But again, when someone says you have like a government file on you and a hit list, like that's different than like just a stalker kind of thing, or, you know, it was a whole, I was not prepared for this. And again, I think I made bad decisions. You just explained to me something that I can't even repeat, which sounds really important to have, right? I mean, like, we just heightened our security today around the house and stuff like that. So those are things, that I was really just naive about. And I guess what I want to be clear, most clear about too, is that the information I expose obviously has put my physical safety at risk. And I don't think people debate that. I mean, people point that out all the time. And what's most important is keeping me and my family safe at this time, and also healing from the trauma. And we have emotional and spiritual, like, and just family trauma that we need to go through and work out.
Yes.
and not do it publicly. And
right.
Yeah. So
is that your focus moving forward, just to focus on family and healing and
safety?
Just sort of, yeah, safety. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, and I, I always, I always wonder why, God puts us through these things, and perhaps maybe that's the path moving forward. Maybe, and then coming back and finding about the bank discrimination against my son, me being denied medical services, the whole incidents I just went through the last, 4 or 6 weeks, like maybe I went through that because maybe my next phase is to help people, to educate them on like what's most important is staying close with family and staying close with friends, knowing who your friends are that you can trust, and really creating that community and knowing who you can reach out to. Because, Mike, I think it's obvious, I did not know who I could reach out to.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, building those local connections and family and self-healing and like you said, safety, there are a lot of areas where some of what we talked about here tonight, where you can enhance your safety, you can enhance your privacy, you can enhance your, even private communications or emergency channels, right? So building those contacts and understanding those protocols, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean,
yeah,
I live that life that I'm describing to you, like this is every day for me.
And Mike, just to be clear, I don't even think about it. Like I'm naive. I was so naive to this. I don't know if that puts some context into why I made not always rational decisions. I don't.
Well, I mean, it's understandable being thrust into that situation with what you described. I don't think anybody watching this is going to condemn you for what you went through. I think they support you, and especially with your focus, what you're talking about, you're really prioritizing what's important. The audience wants you to be safe. I mean, yeah, they love your research and they love what you're finding and the patent documents and so on. But, if they had to make a choice, I mean, they don't want you to be exposed to danger just so they can get more research from you. They want you to be safe, number one. From that, if you in the future, decide to do more writing or write a book or whatever, they would be supportive of that.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if I went through this like to it's so funny because I think people know, like, I don't sell stuff. I don't promote stuff, right? And I never, even like the gold and silver thing, I just never really understood it. Well, I had a significant amount of money from my family stolen by a bank, right? So my eyes are being opened up to things that I know you're very well educated and well versed in this stuff, and also in protection and fine. I am not. I am naive to it. And so it's that's been traumatic for me too. Like I as much as the evil that I've exposed to the world, I didn't really realize how much this, like, let's say the social credit score thing is, like, when you go over the line, how you and your family can be targeted. I didn't know anything like that. And I think it's important, again, that people focus on community and family. And that's what I'm going to be focused on. And that's likely what I'm going to, you know, start writing on more. And
Yeah. And I think that's wonderful, by the way. And I would just add to that, you know, what I call decentralized living, which is having backup options. If the bank debanks you, what do you have that you can use as money? You know, do you have silver coins? Do you have crypto? Do you have things that you can barter? If you are cut off from your mobile phone provider, what do you have as backup communications? You're cut off from the hospital, right? What do you have as backup emergency medical options? Mm-hmm. And what have you stockpiled that you can use, whether it's antibiotics or iodine or ivermectin, right? Or whatever. I'm glad you pointed this out, because I think this is opening a door for you, which is to increase your experience in living off the control grid. Yeah. And that is survival training, by the way. Like, what you've just gone through is probably super intense survival training, and like maybe more than anybody would want to go through, by the way. But, you know, in the military, they take operators and they go through, you know, evasion and escape training, for example, which is highly, highly stressful. And not everybody survives that sometimes, by the way. But what you just went through is some of that. And So everybody understands that there's some traumatization and some recovery from what you just went through. It's serious business.
Yeah. And I think the other two, I want to be clear too. Like, I do, I want to figure out, like, what were these substances? Like, it's not like there's no finger pointing here. I've exposed damning information to powerful individuals. I need to figure out what I was exposed to so I can figure out how to be healed. That's all right. We're doing. That's all I'm trying to do. And also I want to, like, again, I believe, and I think even you've said, like, yeah, I mean, I've put out information there. I've made statements that, you know, could have easily put a target on my back and put my family at risk. And so moving forward, I don't ever want to do that again. I know that sounds, I want to figure out how do I heal my relationships with my family, really connect and build a community I can trust, and still provide value to people, right? So many people have done so much work. It's not just me. So many people have done so much tremendous work, you know? And I also, too, I want to say, like, even like, you know, RFK Jr. and Children's Health Defense and Del Bigtree, they're the ones that shot down the San Diego mandate for the vaccines in the high schools, right? They actually got it all the way up to the Supreme Court and shot it down. They've done tremendous work, right? That's just, you know what I mean? So, and accomplished, it's not just valiant efforts, like, they're accomplishing things. And I'm seeing some of the work I've done being used by other individuals, and it's accomplishing stuff. And so now at this point, you know, maybe God put me through this to prepare me for what is the next phase of America going to look like? You know, maybe I'm not on a list, but I was denied medical services. We were banking services. We were denied other services too, that I don't want to go into detail with, but it appears, you know, that if there was a social credit score system in place, I was written off of it. Right. And it was like activated and tested on me early. Right. So.
I have no doubt. I mean, look, we're all on a list. I mean, the government's lists are quite extensive at this point. Yeah. Probably a few million Americans are on the government's list. The question is what they choose to deploy against you. And I would not be at all surprised that if they did deploy something against you, because I've seen people get sick after being exposed at certain public events, by the way. I've seen that firsthand. I know people who almost died.
Yeah.
And so what I mentioned before, like the training that you've been through, you know, in the military, for those watching who are veterans, you know, that's called SEER training, S-E-R-E. And I'm really now likening this based on what you're saying, Karen, that you have actually gone through an inadvertent, involuntary SEER training scenario, but real life. It wasn't, you know, Truman Show. It was like you were really trying to save your life and evade whatever threats were being projected against you.
Yeah.
The question is, you know, there are ways to live a life that's more off grid, has more buffer zones, that has more protection. And I hope you don't mind me saying, but one of the things that I learned when I was speaking in 2016, and I had multiple armed security personnel with me at a public speaking event. And at that time, people teased me. They were like, oh, that's the health ranger. He's got like four Uzis in his pockets, you know, and he's like, you know, he's got all these guns and security personnel. Today, nobody makes fun of me for having a security dog, security personnel, undercover security personnel. You know what I'm saying? It's the world has changed. It's a lot more dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think you just saw some of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to the point, Mike, where I was like, you know, is there a way for me to simply gracefully exit that? I mean, like, because I'm like that, you know, but I don't think that's a safe choice either. I think, again, my eyes were opened up to, like you're saying, there is darkness, there is evil in the world. But there's ways to survive it. There's strategies, and what's most important is family and community and reaching out to those resources. And I think that's what I need to do. Like moving forward again, like I've done an exhaustive amount of work, as have many other people, you know, and. I think I got a sneak preview into maybe what's going to be coming to America, you know, later this year or in 2024. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And you know, I also want to mention just to back up also what you're saying. So there's also corporate espionage, which in my experience, in many cases, corporate sabotage and espionage can be far more dangerous than government, because corporations can operate in darker circles where they don't have any sort of regulatory record keeping requirements or oversight scrutiny. And for example, you know, Elizabeth Holmes and, you know, the corporation, I forgot the name of the corporation, but, you know, she was sentenced to prison, but the corporation that she had, you remember the name of it? The blood testing?
No. It was genetic testing, as I remember. I don't remember.
Yeah.
The name. Yeah.
Yeah. It was all this genetic testing equipment, but it was determined that it was a giant fraud. But when there was a whistleblower in that company that was starting to talk to prosecutors about what they saw, well, the corporation had people tailing, following that person and intimidating them. And that was a corporate, you know, maybe, I don't know if you call it espionage, but a corporate operation to intimidate and coerce their own employee. Now imagine what kinds of resources they would deploy against you or I. I know I've been targeted over the years by what I believe to be a cabal of pharmaceutical industry funded black ops teams. And so I would tend to say, if you were to just ask my opinion, I would think that you've been targeted more by corporate entities than government entities. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some kind of relationships there or fear tactics that, you know, whatever it is. So
yeah,
again, I think yeah, when God originally put on my heart to look into this information, and I've always been honest about this. Everyone's like, you're so faithful. I got a one-way ticket not to Nineveh. I went to Mexico. I said, God, I don't want to do this. Well, I'm gonna lose all these resources, right? Because I have no one's paying me to do this. I'm gonna put myself at risk, my family at risk. And I said, why would I do this, like, God? Why don't And it was literally like that millstone around my neck. I was compelled to bring this information forward, but I said, don't make me do this if it's futile, if it's for nothing, like if it's just right. going to end up in harm. And I'm exhausted. I'm gonna get teary eyed. I am alive today because of people's prayers, because of people's prayers, because of my faith in Christ, because of God. That is the only way I survived. I should write a book one day. I was pretty savvy. I think I could have been a spy. Like I was pretty savvy, like getting around and, changing my identity, not my identity, but, throwing people off my trail. there's a reason. I believe God put me through this for a reason. I believed I survived it for a reason. Yeah. And, and this point, as you guys can see, 'cause I'm teary eyed. It's still traumatic and I still have a lot of healing to do.
Well, people are so relieved that you're safe. You're back in the United States. You look good, you sound good, and everything that you're saying here makes sense as you're connecting the events for people and mm-hmm. clarifying some things, and I just want to say, I think on behalf of at least, I think a lot of people in my audience who are fans of your work, we all pray for you and also offer resources and assistance should you need them in any, future event for your safety. And if you want to, if you back off of your research and just focus on family and personal goals for 6 months, everybody will understand that, people will have patience. It's fine. You take care of yourself in whatever way you need to, like you said, and the people will understand and they will have patience and they will be with you.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, though, what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, like just again, dealing with being the banks cut off, dealing with the medical services is like dealing with the security is like me and my family. You know, we're about to go through a lot of training together. Like, and I think perhaps that's what I reach out to, maybe I'm going to be reaching out to you more and like writing about those kind of things. I ran a Bible study for 4 years. There's a number of different, I think, I have friends too, I think people should create strong, communities. And if they have some strong Christian communities, around prayer and study and also self-defense and self-sufficiency and covering one another, both in prayer, but also physically. Right. So I think that's why I went through what I went through. I've done so much exhaustive research regarding, the technologies and everything, and I could continue to do that, right? But to me, it seems like I didn't hit a wall fell on me. And you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, well, now that, I get back up, I've got to reevaluate my position and what's going to be best and safe for my family. And so maybe that's part of what I end up sharing. And I get how, men, especially someone like you and others, like you're trained in all this stuff. So it's hard to go like, why would someone react that way? But a single mom who doesn't have all this training and is really somewhat naive and gullible. Like when it happens, it was like, all I could think of was, the best thing I can do is distance myself from everybody to keep them safe.
Well, let me just offer this. I mean, take advantage of the knowledge of the men that who really do know about this. And one of the things that I can arrange for you to be sent a small device that's a satellite-based two-way text messaging device mm-hmm. that where you, your location cannot be tracked. It doesn't use the cell towers, but you can text your family from literally any location on Earth, including the oceans. And oh, wow. this technology exists right now. And in fact, it's used by many of my contacts and friends who are active operators, and some work in the Texas border, for example. And also Michael Yan, you know, former special forces, he's using this device yeah. in Panama in the Darien Gap as well. And so we can get you one of these devices, and it's simple to use. And, you know, there's a lot of technology that can aid in whatever you wish to accomplish, whether it's privacy or, you know, emergency activation, or just building communications networks where you don't have to worry about who's snooping or who's tracking. And that's valuable.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think there's a lot of things I can learn, you know, and again, if
absolutely.
I ran a Bible study for 4 years. I have, 14 or 16 lessons written too about, you know, like, you know, I think I'm going to be diving deeper into the Word again too. So I think that's just, again, I'm still here because God still wants me here, you know, regardless who doesn't want me here. I think God does. And I'm going to just stay in prayer. And I'm just so thankful for everyone that's been supportive and for your prayers and your encouragement and your concerns. And I can't apologize enough for the worry that I caused. And, you know, and like I said, in hindsight, I didn't make the most rational decisions because I was not in the most rational state of mind, I would say. I was in a state of fear. And I didn't have the knowledge or the resources that I could reach out to. And I didn't have the proper training either. And that's another thing that we're focused on here, like Emily and I.
Well, I think people are very accepting of what you're saying here, very open to it. They love you and your work, and they want to support your safety and whatever your goals are. And also, think about it, could have been worse. You could have said that MF is not real. Like that, you know, that meme that's been going around,
What's MF?
The woman on the airplane.
What's MF?
Well, you know, the MF, I'm not going to say the words, you know, the profanity,
I'm sorry.
Woman on the plane who said that MF-er is not real.
Yeah,
it's become a meme now, right? And then, and she was a marketing executive, and she had to explain, like, why was she saying that guy's not real, and caused the whole plane to deboard, and everybody had to go through security again, right? So that was a very bizarre situation, right? So it's hard to explain something like that. But the fact that you are a researcher, you are sort of triggering some powerful corporate pharmaceutical interests, and that many of the rest of us have been targeted or deplatformed or debanked, you know, what you are relating to people is not out of bounds from what the rest of us have experienced. So I just want to, you know, underscore that here before we wrap this up.
Yeah. And I had physiological responses. My eyes were burning. My throat was burning. My ankles like swelled up to the size of my knees. I mean, I had very strange, which means probably something was attacking my kidneys probably at that point. I had very bizarre responses, and I had ringing in my ears for a while there. So I don't know what the heck I was exposed. I mean, and again, you know, maybe someone didn't want to kill me. Maybe they were just messing with me. You know what I mean? Like enough to put me into a heightened state of fear, or what you want to call paranoia, right? Like, so I came off, I understand. I did not come off as stable. I was not, I was sleep deprived in a state of fear. And I can say, yeah, I was emotionally not well at the time. I know from my research, many of these weapons can have neurological effects that heighten that, right?
Yeah,
and,
true.
You know, and here's the thing, you know, people are going, oh, she's admitting she's crazy. No, I'm not. I'm saying I was exposed to a toxin, and I'm just being vulnerable enough with you to let you know that that can cause, you know, it can cause some overreactions, right, if you will.
Well, right. And there are also, and I'm not saying that you're claiming this happened, but there are also directed energy weapons that have been used, you know, by the deep state to target people in embassies, for example, you know, foreign nationals in embassies, and they can project, they can literally project voices into your head, for example.
And they look like this. They just look like the cell phones, right? I mean, I'm near many military bases. And so you can see someone, it looks like a cell phone, and they'll hold it and they will direct it. And they'll just hold it for 20 minutes, directing it straight at somebody, right? So what does that do to your, how does that affect your neurological system, your circulatory system, you know? And we're talking, like, now we're learning about all these like gadgets we have, like, you know, when you start reading patents, like, yeah, this is a gadget, but it also could be used as a weapon, you know?
That's right. You know that more than anybody, that how tech can be weaponized and used against us. No, it's extraordinary. It's, you know, you almost have to carry around a trimeter with like watching the spikes of EMF electropollution or RF energy and so on. But, you know, again, you do that and everybody else thinks you're crazy because they don't live in this world, you know?
I just get Reynolds wrap and make a little hat. And
make sure you use three layers. No. We live in a very crazy time. That's for sure. And I think what you experienced is, you know, sadly just a taste of things to come for a lot of people as we are entering this fascist corporate government merger of tyranny and death. Yeah. And those who are trying to speak out and prevent, you know, genocide are silenced and sometimes intimidated, sometimes coerced. But the fact that you're doing this, that you're just having this conversation with me shows your inner strength and your priorities and your belief, your faith in God to get you through all of this. And so I just want to thank you for taking the time. It's been an extraordinary conversation, and you're an extraordinary woman who has already done extraordinary things. And we pray for your safety and for your return at some point to whatever you want to do.
Thank you, Megan. I do just because as a strategist, like, I know there's already been some conjecture, you know, whatever you want to call it, character assassination. So I know there's going to be some stories written about what happened in Mexico and me over the next couple of weeks. I'll be honest. This is a family matter. And like I said, we're going to work through it. If there's something urgent that I really need to address, I will. But in general, I'm not going to be responding to that kind of thing, right?
I think that's wise. Yeah, don't feed it. You're clarifying everything that you need to right here.
Yeah.
And hopefully this will kind of dampen down the conjecture. And I admit, by the way, I was asking a lot of questions too, because I couldn't reach you and I didn't know, and I was concerned as well. And a lot of us were, but you've really clarified all that here. So, you know, hopefully people will just respect your focus and what you want to do and your focus with your family. So I would ask people to do that as well.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it. And again, I really appreciate you, and I appreciate all the supporters and even the people on Substack, you know, for me, that, like, I'm not a huge Substack, you know, subscribers, but like, they've been so understanding and faithful, and and so many colleagues, like, I don't want to start naming names because I'll forget, but so many people did reach out. Sorry, it took me a month to respond to you, probably including you, Mike, say, I got your message, I'm okay. But I really appreciate the support and the concerns. And I understand, with all the missing information, people trying to connect the dots on their best. And I'm sorry I put everyone through that. I really am. I owe a huge apology to my family. We've got a lot, and we've got a lot of healing to work through, and a lot of training to do too. So,
well, and hey, if you ever want to come to Texas and undergo some serious training, I can connect you with some individuals who know how it's done, the real deal.
Yeah. So I might come out there with my family. We might go through boot camp with you.
So. You'd be surprised. How many people in this space have actually come to Texas to undergo training in various aspects? I protect their privacy, so I can't obviously say, but training in firearms, training in survival, you know, training in Well, I'm not going to go into detail, but just staying alive, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a necessary skill these days.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is. So thank you for having me on the platform. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your audience. And, you know, thank you to everyone again for your prayers and your support and your understanding.
You're very welcome, Karen. You know, God bless you. Stay safe. And also, please don't disconnect yet. We have to let the file fully sync here because of this platform. So don't disconnect yet. But I just want to thank you for taking the time. I know it's kind of late for both of us, and you're probably tired, and I am as well. So we'll both sleep well. But thank you so much for taking the time. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.